Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Aberdeen Junction.
Ooh, that would be a little weird. It's a specific location, too. It's not Aberdeen.
Yeah.
It's Aberdeen Junction.
What city do you think Aberdeen Junction is directly south of?
Aberdeen?
Incorrect.
Okay.
Durant.
Really?
It's in Holmes County.
Okay.
So.
Holmes County. Stand up.
I was like, how far is it from Aberdeen? A good ways. A good ways, but I don't know what it's junctioning.
I guess that maybe there was a train that ran through there at some point.
No. Maybe.
Yeah, they named like little communities and stuff after.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Train stops and. Yeah.
Hey, if you're gonna be in Starkville, if you're in Tupelo, and you want to enjoy a refreshing drink, go grab an M's Strawberry Lemonade Refresher, named after my beautiful daughter Emily. People are telling me it's a game changer. It's one of the great drinks in the world. It's right up there with the invention of coffee, is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
So, I know that we bought two in 2 days in the Haydad house.
The invention of strawberry lemonade is right.
The strawberry lemonade fresher. It's a different. Okay. There's all sorts of stuff going on.
You know, I could probably get on board with that because I enjoy lemonade more than I do coffee. But
you probably would like it maybe a little bit when it's not 12 degrees outside though. So those hot summer days will be here sooner rather than later, though. We get you a strawberry lemonade fresher.
Went from I was leaving Starkville High School on Saturday night, and it's 70 degrees.
Yeah.
And tornado-y.
Yeah.
I'm walking to my truck from the press box, just frigid.
Yeah. I wore short sleeves to Oxford yesterday. I am wearing a jacket indoors today.
I don't like it.
Strange Brew Coffeehouse. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com if you want to order for shipping. The beef. This will be Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out, well, this weekend's just about over. Let's look ahead to next weekend. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you're not cooking out, if you want to stay inside, go hit up one of the incredible steakhouses we have all around the state of Mississippi. Everywhere you go, every little community in this state has got an outstanding place where you can sit down with your friends and family and have a great steak. So go check them out. Go see what's in your area. Go enjoy a great steak. Thanks to the Mississippi Beef Council. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Okay, we got real quick. We've got December 10th. They announced. Oh, here it is. The best burger in Mississippi is nearby.
Where is it?
Huck's Place in Columbus.
Oh.
They won the Mississippi's best burger.
I've been to Huck's.
This was just announced yesterday, or did announce this week, so it's not a problem. We haven't missed too much. And then at Mississippi's best steak is at the Enid Depot in Enid, Mississippi. Where is Enid? I don't even. That's in North Mississippi, isn't it?
I'm trying. That sounds so familiar.
Well, there's Enid Lake. Where is Enid, Mississippi? It's in Tallahatchie County. It is up north. It's in the Delta. No, it's not. No. It's just north of Batesville.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds right.
But we may need to just put them on the list. We got a long list of places we need to go. We'll put them on the list. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friend. We're going to have to go over to Huck's, too. That's an easy trip.
Yeah, I've been there.
I've been there and eaten. I've never had the burger, though.
I've never had the burger. I've had, I think, catfish and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. They're Cajun food's good.
So yep.
We'll check that out. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you certainly are looking for it. I'm gonna go back and look at this Beef Council thing because I wanna. They announced their top five. We're gonna look at all five of them. Anyway, College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you're looking for, maroon and white. You know, the weather, it's Mississippi, right? It changes every day. So you need to be ready for whatever. You need to have a pullover and a polo, so you can go. If it's cold outside, put the pullover on. If it's warm outside, the polo will work. So either way, get one at College Corner with the logos that you want. Two locations in the Jackson area, original by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch. Best meal in town is always, always at Restaurant Tyler. If you haven't been to Restaurant Tyler lately, you are missing out because the food there is just so good. For lunch, I love to go to lunch at Restaurant Tyler. I love to get the catfish. I love to get some fried chicken. I love their sides. I mean, it's just a great place to go for lunch. And, it's inexpensive. It's a good value. You're getting a meat, two big helpings of veggies. And I guess mac and cheese and cheese grits, that counts as a veggie, 100%.
I had that conversation this morning, and in
It's
the South,
100%.
vegetables are mac and cheese.
It's absolutely. And it comes with cornbread, which, you guys know me. Normally, I don't like the cornbread, but I like the cornbread at Restaurant Tyler. And a drink. That's a great meal, great deal. Go enjoy a great lunch at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com. They'll be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, it's important to get answers about your money when you have questions and get them on your schedule, not somebody else's. That's why you need the level of service that only comes with a bank like Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. All right, so the top five burgers in the state of Mississippi.
Go.
Big Jim's Meat Market, Mendenhall. Our House in Columbia. Holy Smokes Barbecue in Columbia. What are we doing? There's two in Columbia? Okay.
Is this like a voting thing?
Yeah, it was. So
Okay.
they got people to vote for. But that's fine. That's fine. Huck's Place in Columbus. Zips Cafe in McGee. I like the
That's
idea of Zips
Zips.
and Big Jim's having a Mendenhall McGee rivalry there.
Have you ever been to Zips?
No, have you
It's
been?
a famous, yeah. It's
Okay.
a famous burger place.
Well, that was their top five for
I have
burgers.
been there. Where is is it Bill's
In
in
Amory?
Amory? Where?
That's a different kind of burger, though. That's the slug
What?
burger.
Well, yeah, but it's a
It
hamburger.
is, but I mean, it didn't make the list. I mean, Ed's won last year and didn't make
The
the
slug
list.
burger's still beef,
I know,
is
I'm
it
just
not?
saying. Yeah, but there's other stuff in there. All right, in the top
Yeah,
five.
no, Zips is definitely. It's kind of a famous burger place in
Okay.
Mississippi.
Top five steaks. Big Jim's Meat Market makes it again.
Okay.
Cheryl's Steakhouse in Ocean Springs. Enid Depot, which ended up winning. Jason's Southern Table in Kosciuszko. I think that won last
That's
year.
that was the
That was
place
last
that
year's
won
winner.
last year. Which is, we
And
need to go there. We need to go try
you're
that
going to be
out.
happy here. Mitchell's Central Service and Grill in Eupora made the
I
top
did. I
five.
heard that. I heard that they
So
did. Mitchell's is
that's too.
extremely
All
underrated.
right, we'll go check that out.
It's a very good plate lunch at lunch, but my favorite thing there is the Mississippi pot roast sandwich.
Yeah.
But their steak is very good. Mitchell's is solid. If you're ever in or around like the Eupora area, Webster County, maybe you're going to Winona, stop in Eupora and go eat Mitchell's.
Sounds good. All right. We'll start with basketball. Mississippi State heads to Oxford and gets a massive win over the Rebels, taking the season series from them. 81-71 is the final score. Here's your stats, Robbie. State trails Ole Miss at 8:49 left in the first half. State trails Ole Miss 22-15. State goes into the locker room up 40-33. So that's a 27-11 run by Mississippi State from that point, right? Second half, Ole Miss hits a shot at the 17:54 mark. Padula hits a three to cut it to 44-40. At the, let me get the, make sure I got the times right. At the 8:55 mark, it's 67-48 Mississippi State. So that's a 23-8 run. Those two runs define the game. The game was completely put away after the flagrant foul by Jamin Brakefield, which I did not see in real time, but the replays were not kind to him. That was a pretty bad foul. And State played very old school, in my opinion, Chris Jans basketball, in that They didn't make a ton of threes in this game when you look at the box score. They were, what, six, yeah, 7 of 27, so not a great night shooting there.
I think that just says what this team is.
But they were 21 of 38 inside. That's 60, you know, just over 50% shooting from inside the arc, and dominated the boards, plus 12 over the Rebels.
Again.
And held the Rebels to 38% shooting, 25%. They played defense.
Mm-hmm.
Five Bulldogs in double figures, led by R.J. Melendez, a guy who had been taking some heat. I think he was reading some message boards. But he was 7 of 11 shooting. He had 17 points in this game. Hubbard with 14. Kugel with 11 in the starting lineup. And then Harris off the bench with 10. Keyshawn Murphy off the bench with 10. Keyshawn Murphy, if he doesn't have foul trouble in this game,
probably
goes for like 18 and 14 in this mm-hmm. game. He had 10 and 8 in 18 minutes.
He's a mismatch. He just is. He's a mismatch.
State centers in 32 minutes got them 17 points and 11 rebounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really playing well at the five position. And the guy that Chris Beard himself pointed out after the game was Sean Jones. 21 minutes, he had 4 points, 4 rebounds, did have 3 fouls, didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but defensively was just all over the place and was a plus 22 in this game on the plus minus. State dominated this game. They fell behind early, and they didn't look great in the first 10 minutes of the game, but after that, they were in complete control from start to from basically, the like I said, when it was 22-15, from that moment on, State was in control of the game. They pushed Ole Miss around. We talked about it. We said it's a bad matchup. When State plays their best, State is a bad matchup for Ole Miss.
Physicality.
And the physicality. I don't know if you've seen the post game. I'm sure you have. But if you didn't watch it, Beard sent all 5 of his starters in to answer questions. And then basically once they left, he called them soft.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know Chris Beard, but I know enough about him as a coach to know it had to be like poison in his mouth to have to sit up there and say, my team got pushed around like this. But that's what he had to say because that was the truth. State dominated this game. This was exactly the kind of win the Bulldogs needed.
Needed to have it. They had the win against Ole Miss at home after 2 straight losses. You've lost, coming in this game, 6 out of 8.
Mm-hmm.
And you really needed something good to go your way, and you got it. This team looked completely different than what we've mm-hmm. seen the last couple of weeks, well, longer than that. And that when we previewed this game, you know, one of the things I said was I could see this being – I thought that State would play this game close. Mm-hmm. I thought it would look a lot like last year up there. I thought State would get behind early. They would fight back because it's a rivalry game, and I just felt like State would play well enough to be in the ball game. I just didn't know if they would win it. They kind of bullied Ole Miss, and they
100%.
They've done that, you know, the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. They had the game last year against Ole Miss. I thought that was just missing free throws down the stretch.
They missed some free throws, and you get a player, T.J. Caldwell, who's a career 3-point-per-game scorer, gets 18 points.
Yeah. So, for the most part, Chris Jans has really bullied Ole Miss in these games. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy to do. Ole Miss, while they might not, you know, against State, for whatever reason, they really struggle inside with State's physicality, but it is I don't think it's a soft team, you know, mentally especially. They tend to overcome, you know, tough situations and kind of stay in the fight. Mm-hmm. They don't turn the ball over a lot. State turned them over 11 times. This is a team that I think they turned over about 8 times a game.
Yeah, they
had one turnover against Kentucky.
Yeah.
So it's not an easy thing to go into that building and just physically kind of manhandle them, and that's what happened. But here is the key for this team the rest of the season. In the games where Mississippi State holds a team to less than 10 three-point makes, they are undefeated. I think 16-0 on the year. In the games where teams make 10 or more threes,
right,
they're 2-7.
Pretty simple math.
Every single loss they have this year, they've given up 10 or more makes. Now, you probably beat Ole Miss handily in the first matchup if you hold them to 6 threes. but they had 14.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed in the ball game for the three-pointers.
Right.
If you hold them to 6 threes, you probably win that one by 20. But instead, they stayed in it with a three-point shot. And this game, they tried to rely on it because State really, for the most part, was kind of keeping them to, you know, one-and-done possessions, which is one of the keys that I talked about pre-game. And another key I talked about was keeping them off the three-point line or at least forcing some misses. They started the game 4 for 5 from three. Is that right?
Yeah.
They finished the game 2 of 19.
That's correct. They made 4 of their first shots. And Padula made a couple of shots with guys right in his face.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm looking at it going, here we go again.
Mm-hmm. Padula, they really – he's a really good player, but State kind of had him rattled yesterday. He had 4 fouls.
Yeah, he got in foul trouble.
He really struggled to defend how he wanted to defend. He was 3 of 10 from three.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think 2 of those happened in the first half, so – he made 1 3-pointer in the second half, and that was it. Mm-hmm. State looked like a team, like the team we thought they could be. After the Vanderbilt game, this is what you expected from Mississippi State going on the road. And let me tell you something. State on the road this year is pretty impressive if you look at it.
It's kind of weird.
It really is weird. You know, as much as we've complained and talked about this team and kind of their deficiencies and all that, they are now 6-2 on the road,
mm-hmm.
and away from Humphrey Coliseum, they're 10-3.
Yeah,
that bodes really, really well for postseason
tournament. Yeah,
because you're not going to play in these games at the Hump. Which I mean, it sounds crazy to even mm-hmm. say that you would rather go on the road.
You think about the Road Warriors team, right? They were undefeated on the road, but they were still really good at the Hump. They only lost 2 games the whole regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a different situation where you're losing games at the Hump, and games you know you have a chance to win, but on the road you're a much more formidable team.
But and also, like, you know, if you played those games on the road, which you will play one of them against Alabama, you're probably going to lose that anyway.
They might.
I mean, so I don't know.
They won't be favored, we'll put it that way.
I don't know if that's more of a State struggling at home or who they're playing.
Yeah.
The style of play they're going up against in those games is not the style they want to play against.
Yeah.
Kentucky, Alabama, and Florida are all teams that can score 90-plus.
And Missouri is a great
and Missouri.
Shooting team.
So those are all teams that don't really match up well. Ole Miss matchups well for Mississippi State.
It's a terrible matchup for Ole Miss.
Yeah. Georgia matches up well for State. Teams like
that. So I mentioned the two runs. There's a run within the run, and that'll be the sign for the week. The sign is brought to you by our friends at Pitt Printing and Signs. When you are looking to send a message the way Old Mississippi State sent a message Saturday night, you need to do it. If you're a business owner, you do it through your printing. That's how you get the message to your customers. If you don't have a top-notch printing department, you're not going to be able to get that message out, and your business is not going to be reaching its full potential. That's why you need to call Camden Baker today and tell him you heard about Pitt Printing and Signs on Thunder and Lightning. He can get your business going in the right direction. He can get your message out the way you want it to be told from the beginning. So call him today, 601-499-5216. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. If you're a Mississippi State fan, he'll be willing to donate 10% of your sale with him directly to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. When you need printing, call Pip today. Ole Miss hits a layup, 3:33 to go in the first half to go up 31-27. From that point, it's a 13-2 Mississippi State run. 8 of the points from Claudell Harris. He hits a 3. He hits 2 free throws. Then he hits a 3-pointer with 8 seconds to go to send State in the locker room with that 7-point lead. Harris coming off the bench and Kugel coming out of the lineup is something that makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kugel is the guy, I think you have to get him going early. He has to see the ball go in the bucket early. He has to have early success to play his best game. Whereas Harris, being more of a sniper, getting him in there off the bench and letting him be some instant offense, I think that suits his game a little bit better. So I'll be interested to see if Jan sticks with this lineup, the switch. And I think we all thought going in that it might be Melendez on the chopping block as far as being a starter goes, but he just goes out and has one of his best games of the year. He was active defensively. He was great in transition, getting to the basket. He hit a couple of big threes, played his best game at Mississippi State. And Hubbard, you know, kind of the same thing we've been talking about. From a shooting perspective, not his best day. He hit that first three, and you're like, okay, you know, here you go. And didn't shoot the ball particularly well after that. He was 3 of 13, but he got to the line six times. He had five rebounds, which is great for him. Four assists to two turnovers, so he's 2-1 there. Just played and played good defense. He can't ask for a whole lot more there, especially on a night where, like we said, you know, he's 2 of 8 from behind the arcs. The three-pointers are not falling for him, but he still was the engine that State was able to go through. Cam Matthews, four turnovers, you don't like to see that, but 6 points, eight rebounds, was a defense, was had hands in the passing lane. He had to have a couple of steals. Let me look at the – yeah, he had two steals and a block.
And it's, again, really physical.
I thought that was State's best defense. Even with 71 points, Ole Miss had a couple of shots in the final minute to make it look a little bit better than it was. I thought defensively State played one of its best games of the year. I thought they were just all over Ole Miss. They hounded them. And they were a little bit less with that double team into the post. Now, part of that is because it's Ole Miss, and they don't have a dominant post guy that you have to worry about down there. But
yeah, I mean, Diaz stepping out a lot.
Yeah, but that being said, I thought when State played its regular man defense, they played really good defense. And they like you said earlier, they bullied Ole Miss for most of this game.
Yeah, and need to sustain that a little bit. You need to.
Well, you got a team coming in on Tuesday that likes to play physical as well. So
State, State's going to have to stack, you know, days like this and stack games and bring this more routinely. Because you look at the games where they've really struggled here in the last, you know, before this game, the last eight games, and a lot of it is you got, you know, two guys doing the bulk of the work. Well, in this one, you had five. I mean, you had, you know, you're basically your starting lineup for the most part, plus a couple of guys off the bench doing something on offense. And you end up having five guys in double figures. That's what this team was built to be. They were built to have multiple guys beyond multiple, more than two, doing things for you offensively, and that the offense just flowed so much better on Saturday. I don't understand these net rankings. State didn't move after this game.
Yeah,
and I'm looking at the teams in front of them, and State has more quad one wins. They're 30th right now. They have more quad one wins than 14 teams ahead of them, and I don't understand. They're 10-7 in quad one and quad two games. Their worst loss right now is Butler, which is a quad two. And I don't get it. They have a 6-2 record on the road, which is you know, the six wins are you know, probably top 15 in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really understand it, you know. They got one more road win than Ole Miss. They have one more quad one win than Ole Miss. I'm going to guess that Ole Miss's conference record is a big
driver.
It
certainly helps because they're 8-5 in state.
And Ole Miss has zero losses outside of quad one.
Right.
All their losses are quad one.
And State has two quad twos right now?
They have one quad two.
So still Butler is still hanging in there.
Bad losses. I mean, I guess that's considered a bad loss, but
I think losing to Missouri by 20 plus at home is hurting State as well. Just in terms of metrics,
you know, you have a double digit win against a quad one opponent. You would think they have to be careful here. Ole Miss, if they drop, you lose a quad one.
Mm-hmm.
They're 25th right now, so you would lose that home quad one win over Ole Miss if they drop. And they dropped four spots, losing to State. You know, where would Ole Miss be right now if they lost one or both of those games the other day? Those were big wins for them to find a way.
If they had lost one of those games, those LSU or South Carolina games, they would be below State right now.
Yeah, that's keeping them going because they didn't lose.
Yeah, what's interesting about those games? I think they're both quad two. It's not like they're terrible resume killing losses, but it would affect them. So, good win for State. Got back on the right side of things. I'm interested to see if this becomes like a catalyst because it felt like they played at a much higher level. They played the kind of basketball we were expecting to see them play. And this is a game that could have been much worse. State, like I said, with Nwoko and Murphy being in foul trouble, they both had four fouls. State was getting what it wanted down in the paint. You know, something I didn't mention was in that first half run towards the end, State went small because both Murphy and Nwoko had two fouls. So they went small and kind of had Cam at the five, and that bothered Ole Miss. The athleticism on the floor and the speed bothered the Ole Miss offense. So just a good game plan from Jantz. He made the right moves. It all worked out. Next week, we talked about this in the press box at baseball. State can be 1-1 next week, but it can't be beat A&M and lose to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Like, if you beat A&M, you need to be 2-0. You need to go to Oklahoma and win. Oklahoma's just not a good team. They lost to LSU Saturday night. That's only the Tigers' second conference win of the season. If you lose to A&M and beat Oklahoma, no one cares. It's fine. But if you beat A&M, you need to go to Norman and win that game. We do have the lucky charm on that one, though. We've got Richard Cross on the call.
For oh, there you
Mississippi
go.
State and Oklahoma and Norman. So
State
always
not,
does well when Cross.
They did
on
not
the call.
Lose many games with Richard on the call.
No. So, all right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for, and you certainly are looking for it. You are wanting to get great food. You want to go when you go out. You want to have a great experience. You get that at Two Brothers and at the Older Brother. Our friend Rob Hadaway made his first trip to the Older Brother. He was tweeting us the pictures on Friday. Oh, he was tweeting me the pictures.
What did he say? He didn't include me.
He didn't
in that.
Tag you. I mean, you were offended. What's up, Rob? I mean, it's Rob. Y'all are Rob brothers.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
That's it. I understand it. It's okay. But he said it was good, and that's all that matters. So
very good.
You want to have a great experience? There's two great places right there in the Cotton District: Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50, brother.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, it's just another phone call away, and it's the same number. It's the same people. It's the people you know and people that you trust. You're not putting your business's technology into the hands of a stranger. You're talking to the same people who made you the sale before. That's a great difference, and it's one you can only get at a place like Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Next time you're in Starkville, and it could be next weekend for baseball, it could be this Tuesday for basketball, it could be for whenever, make sure you're planning a trip to Maroon & Co. to grab some great Mississippi State gear, the stuff you can only find at Maroon & Co. They have the biggest and best selection in Starkville. So if you are coming to Starkville and you need a new hoodie, a new pullover, a new polo, a new hat, anything, get it at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the next game in Starkville, make sure you're headed to Maroon & Co. I can't tell you, and I'm sure you're getting this too. People are, this first weekend of baseball, like, what do you think? And it is obviously too early to formulate any real long-term conclusions about this team. But I will say this. That's the first time they've swept an opening series since 2020. Even the 2021 year, and that was a much different situation. They were playing in that incredible tournament on 2021 in Texas. So, that's one thing. But 2022, 2023, 2024 all started series at home against lesser opponents and didn't sweep any of them. And not only that, but to completely dominate on the mound the way they did. They gave up, five runs.
In 35-5.
35-5. That looked like Mississippi State baseball is supposed to look. At least in my mind, I thought the hitting was good. The pitching was better. I thought you saw great stuff from Pico Khan on Friday. We talked about that. We said he needs to have a fantastic first outing. He delivered on that big time. Carson Ligon ran into some early trouble in the second game on Friday, but was great after that. 8 strikeouts, no walks. I'll take that all day. And then Stone Simmons, obviously they wanted to be careful with him, but he gave you 3 innings of shutout baseball. And then you got good stuff out of your bullpen. One bad pitch gets away and it goes over the wall for a solo home run. I thought pitching was definitely the story. Even in a weekend where State scores 35 runs in 3 games, I thought the pitching was the story of the weekend.
No doubt. This is what the good teams that have been at Mississippi State, I told you this on Friday, the good teams that Mississippi State has had, it doesn't matter who the opponent is, they've come out and they've looked like SEC team versus MAC team or whatever.
Right.
That there's been no doubt that Mississippi State is the greater team, and it's complete dominance. And that's what they needed to do. There's not a whole lot good you can take away from series like this that you that's concrete. You know, there's not a whole lot where you can say, like, I leave this game and I think Mississippi State is definitely hosting. I can't say that. But you can take bad away from it. I can say that State came out and, you know, they walked 20 guys in three games and they struggled to put away batters, and at the plate they really struggled to hit. You can glean that from games like this. In this series, in three games, State struck out 40 and walked 7 in 23 innings. That's strong. 40 strikeouts, you're averaging well over 10 strikeouts per game.
You said 40 to 7?
40 to 7.
I mean, you'll take basically a 6-1 strikeout to walk every single time.
And four of those walks were Sunday.
Yeah.
And two of those came from Stone Simmons, who hasn't pitched in a real game at Mississippi State.
Right.
And not making 3 years.
Excuses. That's a valid consideration. Yeah.
And what I really liked about it, and I asked Chris Simonis about this after the game, just about how, just what dynamic Justin Parker brings to this pitching staff, and that the players that they're sending out to the mound are not just, you know, what I call one trick ponies, guys that come out and throw 98 and that's all they got is gas. These guys are throwing mid-90s, and also they have a really good slider. They have a really good changeup or a curveball. They got put-away pitches beyond just that fastball. I was super impressed with the young guys on Sunday. Ryan McPherson, he gave up the only run, and it was just, you know, tip your hat. The guy just squared it up and hit it out.
Right.
But I was really impressed with him. He's a 95, 96-mile-an-hour fastball. A wicked changeup, and a really good breaking ball, too. He pitched two innings. He struck out three guys. Mekhi Grant has just silly movement on the fastball, and breaking ball is excellent.
He threw that 86-mile-an-hour breaking ball, and that, I mean, they might as well have been going 10. That guy had zero chance to hit that. The guy who impressed me the most was Nate Williams, I thought.
Nate Williams was
really good.
And very interesting guy. You know, he hasn't pitched in a couple years, too. Yeah. I mean, almost everybody they put out there.
Monis mentioned him by name a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And I saw him in one of the scrimmages, and, you know, it's a guy that's going to be throwing 96, 97, a hard-throwing guy. He struck out the side in his one inning.
Yeah.
So,
and then your boy Dane Burns got
out there. Very good breaking ball, slider. And he relied on that pretty heavily. He's going to be low 90s from the left side to mid 90s with a really good breaking ball. That'll play. And
if you throw high 90s, you're already in MLB.
Yeah.
From the left side.
From the left side, yeah. And the crazy thing is, I thought Jacob Pruitt was the guy that struggled the most out of anybody. And he's a guy that I think is going to help Mississippi State. I thought they squeezed him a little bit. I thought he was probably a little juiced up coming in. I'm not throwing him out.
No. I think he's got a chance to be. I don't know who they're going to start in this game against Southern Mississippi. That's who I thought it would be, so I was surprised to see him on Friday.
Well,
and he threw an inning.
Yeah, so. I mean, a lot of times you'll see, especially early, like they'll throw somebody out there to kind of get them heated up a little bit.
Yeah.
They'll throw an inning. So I think it might be Charlie Foster or Jacob Pruitt.
Yeah, and Foster threw this weekend as well.
Foster threw an inning, struck out two. He looked sharp. Stone Simmons was the only guy that walked more than one on the weekend, and he struck out five. Pico looked like a Friday night guy.
Really, really good.
So I forget what the stat line I said I wanted from him in game one. I think it was five innings, eight strikeouts, and one walk.
Right.
And maybe like you give up a run. Well, he pitched five innings, gave up one hit, no walks, struck out 11, and didn't give up a run.
Right.
So it was better than I thought. And this, you know, Pico is taking that step. This is a big step. This is a guy that, you know, he's not a showy pitcher. He doesn't like to talk. He's kind of quiet, confidence kind of guy. And this is a big jump. You know, he's going to experience some tough times at some point. How does he react to that? I thought he reacted really well against Virginia. This was a really good first start. This is what you want to see out of a guy that's moving into that role to be a Friday night starter. to come out and just completely overwhelm the other team. And they had one guy reach base, and it was on a base hit. And then Ligon, I thought, recovered nicely after a tough start.
Had a rough first inning, but
eight strikeouts, no walks
all day. I gave up four hits, but I mean, in a four inning appearance, four hits, but no walks. It means you didn't get into trouble, probably.
I think the biggest thing with him is like it's not like his misses that are, you know, missing low, missing high, and he's kind of all over the place leading to walks.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's missing like across the plate.
Yeah,
missing a spot where you're wanting to.
He's leaving it a little.
You're wanting to clip the outside corner, and instead you're hitting the middle of the plate.
We say he's leaving it fat, basically.
Yeah, that's what you want to avoid.
Which is
with him,
but
yeah, but you know if it's across the middle and going 97, 98, that can go a long way.
Yeah,
So
any hitter will take that over the fence. So.
I thought he had mentioned. After the game, what really kind of turned things around with him is he started finding his breaking ball and his off-speed pitches. He started finding those after relying a little bit on the fastball. And he said, I'm a lot easier to hit when I'm predictable.
Yeah.
When the team – and that's really anybody, but when he's just throwing a fastball and the teams are sitting on it, it could turn bad for him. But if he's able to pitch with confidence with that breaking ball and his secondary pitches – he's a guy that's very intriguing. So I liked what I saw this weekend. I think they have a chance to have a really good season. It's definitely too early to know exactly what that means, but this was a really good start to the season, and it would be nice to see it replicated again on Tuesday.
So you look at USM, we'll do preview this a little bit more tomorrow, but they got a four-game sweep this weekend over Lafayette. They won Friday 9-2, but that game was 1-0 going into the bottom of the eighth, and then USM went for eight runs in the bottom of the eighth. They go to extras to get the win on Saturday in game one of a doubleheader, 7-6, and Lafayette had the lead and going into the bottom of the 10th there. Then they blow them out in the second game, and they have a pretty easy win on Sunday. Four games, though, makes you wonder how much pitching a little extra pitching there, especially with State having that extra day off in the middle there. State played two games, day off. Then another
nobody
game.
Nobody was really, yeah.
So
and that's the thing about this team this year is, I mean, they have a ton of options. They have way more options than they did last year.
Yeah.
And it's unproven, but I do think that the overall talent of the bullpen this year is so much better than last year.
All I'll say about this to wrap us up on baseball is this. I feel better today than I did after the first weekend last year when they lost a game to Air Force.
Easily.
They won three games. They were never in any real trouble. And, you know, we talked about it last week that these little, you know, these wins and losses, they pile up on you. And you look up at the end of March and you're like, well, heck, crap, they've got four or five non-conference losses.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a team that's going to host. So getting through these weekends unscathed is huge. We'll see what happens this week with Mississippi State. Big game on Tuesday, 6 o'clock at Pete Taylor Park. Our friend, I don't know if I mentioned, I think I told you this in the press, but our friend Caleb Hamill will be on the call
for
Mississippi State in that game.
Cool. Good for him.
Because, you know, obviously Neil will be doing basketball that night. So Caleb will be doing on the mic. So congrats to him. I know that's a huge thrill for a kid who grew up being a
Bulldog that's awesome.
Fan.
That's awesome.
Awesome. So
I'll be up there going down Tuesday. So
okay.
I'll cover that.
You pick me up one of them king cake. I'm going to give you some money.
You know, I just got the king.
We had delicious. We need to give a shout out. Go ahead and talk. Who was our friend there?
William, who came from, they came from Covington, Louisiana. William McCaleb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they brought me a king cake.
They brought us.
Well, it was really me.
Well, I got to enjoy some of it then.
From Claudas, is Claudas?
Coludas.
Coludas.
I think so. Well, we got. What if we had a device?
I've never been there, but the people down in Louisiana say it's it's excellent. But it was
a picture of the box here.
It was
Saludas.
It was really,
you know,
really
what,
good.
It's probably got a Cajun. It's probably a Coladas or something. But
yeah, we're idiots.
But yeah, really good. Thank you, William. We appreciate
cream cheese. It was just a cream cheese king cake. It was just the old reliable.
I'm gonna give you some money. I want you to give me one of them Robert St. John strawberry king cakes and bring it back to me.
So here's the thing. Have you ever had, like, pancakes with, like, the strawberries, with the strawberry sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
So Becky made some of that for I don't know what she was making it for, but I woke up on Saturday and she had some of that.
Yeah.
And she was like, you should put some of that on the king cake.
And?
So I put the strawberries and the sauce on top of the king cake, put it in the microwave for about 10 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
It was
all right, so that's what I want, a strawberry cream cake. King cake.
That's what I think that's what I want, too.
All right. All right.
So we'll see. I mean, they might be sold out.
You know, I'm going to text Robert and let you know. No. We're gonna make this happen. Don't you worry about all that.
We're gonna make it happen. I've asked Robert. I haven't talked to Robert, but I put out the message here on the, show.
He's a busy man.
He's a busy man. They are all.
They're
selling out everywhere they go. They're doing these pop up tents.
You can't just talk to. You can't do a friend of a friend with him. You got to
go straight to the Godfather.
I'll handle it. All right. I'll talk to our friend. It'll be all right.
I was trying to be nice. I was trying to not bother him. I know he's a busy man.
The thing about Robert is he loves to be bothered.
He does.
He loves to help.
He wants to help and he wants to be busy.
Right. I'll get it taken care of. So, all right, tomorrow's show, I'm going to get somebody on from USM to preview this game because I think that deserves that. And we need to talk about Texas A&M basketball. Two massive games on Tuesday for Mississippi State basketball and baseball. Tuesday could be a huge day for Mississippi State sports. If they can get a couple wins there, buddy, you're off and running in baseball, and you're in a great spot. Oh, I'll just say this. I believe it. If State beats Texas A&M, they're a lock for the NCAA tournament. At that point, they're just playing for seeding.
Well, at that point, you're starting to look at get to 10?
You're playing for seeding.
Can you get to 10 SEC wins?
10 SEC wins, and you're probably a 4 seed, maybe a 3.
It's going to be –
so we'll see.
It should be good.
We'll see. Great weekend for Mississippi State sports. Softball undefeated as well in the snowman. So they're off to a great start. I think they should be moving up in the polls as well. Great week of Mississippi State sports. Let's see if we can stack another week on top of it. We'll do that. Talk to you guys again tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.